everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Self-Help Center Podcast, otherwise known as Romeo's Tea. This is episode 2, and we're working our way backwards through the podcast because we do shit like that backwards. That's just the way shit happens out here. In the background, you're hearing a band you've probably never heard of called State Trooper. It stars the lead singer, Gary Barden, who is one of the lead singers to MSG, whose co-founder is, or main founder actually, was Michael Schenker, who is in the band UFO, which is my favorite rock band of all time. So as you can see, there's a bit of a ways to get to there, but so be it. I'm eating sunflower seeds and drinking Bud Ice. This is the second part of a podcast on a new podcast provider. I believe it's called Podbean or something. 25 times better than the last one that I was using. And so you'll actually see some more podcasts in the future. We're gonna try to catch up as quickly as possible. So we're gonna do May here in episode 2, and eventually we'll get caught up. Episode 1 had June. So for let's just go right away. As we used to say in the old podcast, let's go straight away to the blogcast. It's May 31st, 2010, which is Happy Memorial Day to you. I defend the Nazis on Memorial Day because I chase controversy the way Tara Reid chases tequila shots with beer. Happy Memorial Day. Remember that when you are at war, anyone against you is your enemy. The enemy is your enemy only because he is dangerous. I like to speak in tautologies. That's because stupid people, and here I mean you, are always thinking that they've heard something profound whenever they hear a sentence that uses different words to say the same thing twice, where the additional words fail to provide additional clarity when repeating a meaning. At the risk of offending some, I don't have that much to say about Memorial Day. I won't lecture you about grilling steaks and taking your 3-day holiday for granted because I don't believe in giving lip service to the banalities that you hear on TV. And I'm not going to tell you how I honor their service because I don't. The sad truth is I never think about the sacrifice all these people make to secure my freedoms. According to The Onion, I'm no different than anyone else who's not a member or a family member of our armed fighting forces. I may not be a super patriot, but I won't defend myself by guiltily regurgitating the silly left-wing reaction that just because servicemen volunteer to join the army to blow shit up, we should get to mock the white trash that take bullets for us in a far-off strange country. The truth is that getting to blow stuff up is a great reason to join the army, and if the service did not require push-ups to enlist, I would have joined for the very same reason. But don't go jumping to conclusions. I do have problems with military service. For one, I don't think we should be defending this country. I have my reasons. Allow me to enumerate them, if you will. Number one, we do a lot of bad shit in the world. Number two, we have a history of doing evil. And three, we do even do evil shit to ourselves. You know, like making the working poor and middle class do our fighting, thereby letting the rich win the class war. These are just the facts. And if you don't like them, then you should avoid caring about facts the way Sarah Palin does. Now that we've thought about those facts for a second, let me extend to you a corollary to those facts. Nazi Germany may have worked out okay. You know, sometime later, in the long run, that is. Because overall, the Germans are a civilized people, and they would have seen the errors of their ways, just the way the Americans eventually decided that slavery was bad. Most Americans even feel guilty about the genocide that we committed at the hands of the indigenous population that was here before us. Now, on the blog, this was actually kind of funny because right below that statement, there's a picture of a pile of bison skulls, which is huge. So that's kind of ironic. That's not Indians. I was talking about buffalo, but you thought. So yeah, you can't really see that. It's more of a visual joke, which doesn't work on the podcast. If America can overcome the history of genocide that started this country, if it can overcome the heinous sin of slavery that allowed it to prosper and learn from those experiences to become the beacon of light that allowed it to kill 200,000 Filipinos in the 20th century without blinking, then surely we can fathom a future or side place where the Germanic people would have overcome their little Jewish problem. So, if the armed forces aren't necessary to defend us against the greatest evil of the 20th century, are they even needed at all? Muslims don't have that much in terms of an army, and none of the countries we're currently bombing and killing are able to do much other than grab a few box cutters on a commuter flight. I told you that I don't think we're worth defending, and the second point I want to make for you is that I don't think we needed to. But happy Memorial Day to all you GI Bill getting motherfuckers anyway. And by the way, the sideways was an allusion to Lost. So, yeah, do with that what you will. Okay, so let me take a drink first. I'm still drinking Bud Ice. I did put a decent six-pack in the freezer, but it's going to take like an hour and a half to get cold. This one is called, am I going to read this one? It's from May 29th, Go Forth and Die. I guess I will. In my room, under my bed, there's a white towel. A crusty white towel with stains on it that I cannot identify. I pick up the towel and walk into the bathroom. Someone has scattered dirty Q-tips on the floor. The toilet is unflushed. My toothbrush lies useless, though the cap on the toothpaste is open. There's a commercial lying to me on TV. I would shake my fist at you. And the commercial is about pants. It's a Levi's commercial. Again, it's a visual thing. You can't really see. I could play the audio, but again, I don't think that would really help. They're only pants, I would say. They don't solve anything. The monkey on your back is a living, breathing thing. It sucks up the oxygen in the room, like I'm doing now, in the shower. You can let cold water run down your toes. You stare into the drain for eternity. In a few minutes, you will make a joke, or you will even have a snarky reply. I would be like you if I could. If I could ignore the center of my being, it would be a better life. Do not think about the emptiness of existence. Like you, I pretend I do not see anything. Instead, I look up prescription pills on the internet. It makes me feel better just knowing Xanax is out there and someone who is lucky enough is not feeling today. Yeah, okay, I wish I hadn't read that either, but there it is. Let's see, where we're at here. We got 7.5 minutes. And let's go to May 27th. My little cinnamon girl is actually a Nazi sympathizer with a hard-on for Irishmen who shave their pubic area. Are you gay? Those were the first words Kevin heard as he sat down next to us. Kevin looked over at the bartender like he needed to wipe the poop out of his ears. Kevin used to be fab, but now he's not. Kevin shaved off all of his hair on a whim a few days ago. If you add the shaved head to the orange t-shirt that he layered under a red vest, and then you stuck a pin behind Kevin's ear, you might understand why he got asked what he got asked. Kevin looked kinda gay, but I'm certain that they don't teach bartenders to scream out at patrons potentially embarrassing questions like, "Do you mind if we embark upon the possible sexual disposition?" Even at the English Bartending Academy of Assholery. Albeit, they would be talking shit with an English accent, and an accent makes everything you say seem cool. I was sitting next to Sweet Leaf and farting when Kevin walked into the bar. I think my farting is somehow connected to the fact that I'm shitting yellow again. I shit yellow because my liver is melting apart like an AIDS patient on his fourth med cocktail. If you don't know anything about AIDS and the multiple medications they give you to control the disease, and how when mixed, those multiple medications literally eat your body apart, then do yourself a favor and try not to imagine your insides liquefying into a gooey mess that leaks out of your anal cavity onto the floor with some into an extra heavy-duty colostomy bag. I told him, yeah, but I told him that because he's a homophobe, but I don't want him beating the snot out of some rinky-dink twink who gets the idea that Kevin could be his sweet daddy bear. Now, what is sweet daddy bear? Oh, you have to hear this, so let me try to jack up the volume on this. Oh yeah, sweet daddy. So that's what a sweet daddy bear is. I think it's hilarious. So back to the story here. The bartender is obnoxiously drunk, but for some reason, I'm the only person in the bar who realizes this. I keep trying to tell Leaf and Kevin that the bartender is really drunk, but they keep telling me that she looks normal. I ignore their protests because I'm on pep pills, and pep pills give me near superhuman powers of the observation. I stole three of the pep pills Leaf uses as a diet aid right out of his car before we both walked into the bar. Leaf is a skinny bitch that has all the girls at Walmart telling him how they'd love to have his figure. Even though Leaf is as skinny as an Olsen twin, he's still trying to squeeze an extra 10 pounds off his already too thin frame. I imagine that Leaf has the same conversation with himself that the Olsen twins have every morning before they brush their teeth together in their twin golden sinks. The conversation goes something like how fat they are and how they could stand to miss a few meals, and then something about how homeless people have all the real style in the world and how it's too bad rich people can't spend thousands of dollars on an outfit that makes them look like they've been taking heroin for 2 weeks and are on a come down, and now they've stopped caring about things like showers, clean clothes, or stuff that matches, and instead they've replaced all those common sense ideas with a theory that they should from now on only wear stuff that looks insanely big on them. Thinking about the Olsen twins has gotten me irritated, or maybe it's just the pep pills that have got me revved up, but now I'm pissed off at the crazy Irishman sitting across the bar from us, screaming at me how he's Irish, and how he needs to know if we are, and if we're not Irish, well, what are we? Not Irish, I tell him. By emphasizing the not, I had hoped the drunk would get the hint that I was not interested in playing any of his ethnocentric labeling games, but the drunk didn't get the hint. Fed up with the drunken Irish guy and the obnoxious bartender, I grabbed the pitcher of beer we were drinking and followed Leaf outside to the smoking patio. Kevin walked out to his car to find his drinking cigars. Kevin only smokes cigars when he drinks, he likes to remind us. Like after he smoked a cigar, I was going to make him count four Hail Marys or something. I may like to touch little girls, I told Kevin, but I'm not your priest. I don't remember why the bartender began to argue with me. I do remember she repeated a lot of the same stuff that Robert, the 5-tour Vietnam veteran, had to say to me the last time I was at that bar. I was in the mood again to argue with someone. I like getting the rise out of Christine, the bartender, though. Whenever we debate, we mostly talk over one another. That night, her arguments consisted mostly of ad hominem attacks on my personality, which happened to be true, like how I'm too much of a coward to defend my country, and how I never do anything with my beliefs in the real world, if you don't count yelling at people I don't like at bars and the like. All true, I tell her, and then a reminder that I never told her that I was a good person. Then I told her that just by thinking that some people, in her case military people, have more of a right to say about how things ought to be, could easily lead to situations like Nazi Germany. Now I know that whenever a liberal like myself uses the Nazi card, that we scrape the bottom of the barrel when it comes to making an argument, but like I said before, the girl was obnoxiously drunk and not listening to anything I said, and basically kept sticking her giant finger in my face and spilling Miller High Life on my Converse sneakers. She was getting annoying, and I figured calling her out as a Nazi was the best way to get her to shut the fuck up and listen. Only what she said next to me got me to shut up, because basically she said that Nazi Germans were right to follow the orders, that Nazis were better people, and that Nazis were better people than faggot little commies like me. Where she took faggot to not mean gay, because I mean no disrespect to you, she points over to Leaf and Kevin, your faggoty friends. You would think that things would get weird then. I mean, a drunken bartender has just called me a commie faggot, and then she defended the extermination of 6 million Jews under the pretense that people who train to kill other people should be more involved in the organization of the social order. You might think this would cause even the backwater rednecks that populate this neighborhood bar to take a step back and think, but it didn't. In between hugging her goat-bearded, badly tattooed, Irish ball-shaving, adulterous companion, my bartender complimented me on having the balls to be outspoken, and for standing up for what I believe, and for living in a country where we can all take this freedom for granted. Though, I'm not sure what I had to do with that last part. I do know that the squirrely Irishman did not appreciate that I could keep up with his woman during a debate, and how she fawned over the challenge that I presented to her in the form of my nuanced rebuttals of her patently fallacious theories. The final piece de resistance? Our bar tab was free. She insisted that we owed nothing when we asked to settle our account. My friends left a generous tip, and I offered to pay their way at Whataburger. My attempts at gallantry were soon rebuffed by the automated payment system at Whataburger, where my card was impolitely declined on no less than 3 separate occasions. The evening was capped off by the inhalation of several vials full of the legal plant salvia, which, at the modest 5x strength, imparts to its participants nothing more than the warm feeling of amusement at life's inner tragedies. Now here's our final bit of the day. It's from May 22nd, 2010. Libertarianism is a cult. Today I met a girl who looked like the girl pictured below. You can't really see her. She's like hot though. Just remember like that. Think of hotcha. Really, though, that pretty. Though, it turned out she was Mormon and was probably only being nice to me so she could indoctrinate me into her cult. Women this pretty are only nice to me if they think they can get something out of me. Usually the thing they want is cash, which in my case is not a lot. I usually only carry $4 in change and a bus pass on me. My poverty only pisses off the strippers that unluckily end up sitting next to me. The conversations we have are usually brief, but sometimes they are hideous. The girl I met at work today smiled at me a lot. She had the prettiest smile you've ever seen. It was a smile that showed something of her soul. It was like she really was as nice as she appeared when she gathered up her grocery bags and told me to have a really great day. I was basking in the glow of her comment when my Mormon courtesy clerk told me that that chick you thought was hot was a Mormon. My face just crumbled. I sighed and shrugged my shoulders at him. I guess there's just no hope for me after all, I said. My bagger just nodded at me. It's funny how you still get your hopes up after all these years, he said. You're so old, he reminds me. When are you ever going to learn? I guess maybe never, just like the American people never learn. The Texas bumpkin with the funny economic beliefs might be a racist, xenophobic, Christian fundamentalist who would rather offer up his daughters to a rape-craving crowd before he'd ever hire a couple of dudes play... ever watch a couple of dudes play Howdy Doody in the parking lot of his Holiday Express. The girl at the grocery store is just like Rand Paul or John Stossel. She dresses nice and seems like a normal person, but you can't take anything she says seriously. Remember, she's in a cult. I guess I could play the, I don't know how long this clip is, of John Stossel defending Rand Paul. Oh, holy hell. It's like 7 minutes, so we're not going to play that whole thing. Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice of him. Okay, well, and then John Stossel goes on to be like, oh, that guy is totally smart. Yeah, we love him. He's totally good. Okay, so let's go back to the story. The girl at the grocery store is just like Rand Paul or John Stossel. Wait, I already read that. She dresses nice and is a normal person, but you can't take anything she says seriously, right? I should have been wary of the sparkle that girl had in her eye for me, just like you should be wary of the sparkle in John Stossel's eye. Or in the folksy charm of a crusading Texan and his melon-headed offspring. People on a mission always have a zest for life. I bet if you ran into the path of one of the crusaders, he would have sat you down and insisted on telling you about the invisible hand of the free market that guided him down to this spot. He would have told you that rational thinking is silly. He would tell you that we should just give up on thinking and just relax. Let the market take its course. Then he would have fed you some bullshit about how companies are constitutionally protected people with civil rights. With feelings as well, I guess, since we shouldn't even be allowed to insult BP. All I know is that corporations serve at the pleasure of the government, and hence, if you want the protections and privileges that are provided now in perpetuity, like not paying taxes, then you have to understand that the corporations are not private entities, but are in fact vehicles of public accommodation. That fact is plain and apparent to everyone, even to asshats like John Stossel. The fact that he and others, and I'm talking to you, Rand and Ron Paul, would try and conflate the private individual with his rights and protections with a public entity like the corporate stock company makes me more than sick to my stomach. It gets me a little gassy, too. You can try a trick, like insisting the corporations aren't public, but private, but only if you are under the influence of an all-encompassing worldview that structures your every thought and belief. In short, a cult. Let's be honest, I'd convert for a cult where I get to keep a hot chick on my very own planet, but that's because Mormonism is my kind of cult, unlike libertarianism, which is a cult, but a cult with only one hot chick. Well, there we go. 21 more minutes, and we still have lots more to go in May. Maybe next time I'll try not to eat sunflower seeds while I do this. What do you guys think? If you leave me a comment at romiustexas@yahoo.com, that's romiustexis at yahoo.com, I might replay it here on the podcast. You could also leave me a voicemail, 623-239-0852. And if you leave a voicemail, I'll play it on the podcast. We mentioned this before, but nobody ever leaves voicemails on the podcast, so you could be like the eighth person to ever do it. There was a time, like 2 years ago, where I was getting over 1,000 downloads a week on my podcast, but the podcast provider I was using went belly up. And since then, I've had to go through 3 or 4 different ones, and they've all sucked. So hopefully this one will continue to be not too terrible. And we'll get out a few more podcasts. And well, that's about it. So this is Romeo's T signing off. I hope you guys have a great day and all that kind of crap.
Good night, and good luck.